If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Merkel Media. Merkel Media.
I was like, oh, this is the room that Pete filmed. and sure shit. I mean, they all sorts of, like, you know, I don't want to call them the tooth chairs, but the dominatrix actors and chairs and swings and then they close that door off, and now we have to actually go down the hallway to where the pool area is, and then go down to the left. So you're actually inside the complex, and there's swingers out there hanging at the pool. You know, the topless, freaking. You know, you got the dong swinging, and damn, dude,
wow.
That is a lot better of a place to deliver to than the nudist colony.
It in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I'm your host, Tony Merkel.
And I am Brian Merkel.
We're really glad you're here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with us on the show from the road, go to hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section. You can reach us that way as well.
I messed it up.
I know I was missing something. I get stage fright because we're doing this in front of what I feel like a live audience, because we actually have our guest on the line right now. So let's just start that over here. If you got something you want to email the show about, you got to email us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com or go to the website hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section. You can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. That spiel. You guys all get it. Just freaking email the show. Dad, tell them about the voicemail line.
All right. We do have a voicemail line, yeah. You know, and it's an exciting thing for us because we get to hear your short stories, operative word short. If you have a short story, you give us a call at 515-585-6375. That's 515-585-MERK for those who are number impaired. It's Merk. Give us a call. Leave us a message. Tell us about your story. Keep it short. If you got a longer story than that, that's fantastic. Send us an email and come on the show.
Yeah, just send us an email and we'll get back to you, or Lindsay will. Also, friends, preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. And you can get yourself emergency supply food. I just bought, I think it was 6 months worth of food.
Nice.
Yeah, I got like a bunch of boxes in my garage right now, yeah. That's just going to sit there until we move. But I'm stocking up more and more recently because of what's happening. I mean, there's bare shelves and it's going to get worse. Yeah. Inflation's going through the roof. And so if you just want to make sure you and your family are good in the emergencies that you know are coming, go ahead and check out preparewithhll.com.
And just so you know, We don't just talk about it. We actually do it. Like Tony said, he did. And Tony's mom and I have as well.
Yeah, I got...
It's always good to be prepared.
I mean, I got tons of canned goods. And I don't just use the websites. I use... I got canned goods and all that stuff. I mean, taking it serious, and I'm taking it to another level. When we get to Tennessee, I'm going to be getting chickens, greenhouse, garden, nice. All that stuff. So more self-sustainability is the lifestyle I'm going for. And you can start yourself off in that direction at preparewithhll.com, because you can also get emergency supplies in that website as well. So it's not just the food, but you can get water purification systems and things like that. So check it out, preparewithhll.com. And also go ahead and buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. That's buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. There you can get yourself, or get us, some coffee.
Virtual coffee.
Virtual coffee. It's
and
a virtual
tip jar. I enjoy it.
Virtual tip jar, keeping the trucker caffeinated. So if you like what we do and you want to show appreciation, buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane and keep the caffeine coming. Okay, friends, today we got Alan on the show. Alan, how you doing, brother?
Hey, what's going on there, Tony and Brian Lemongrass, Popsicle Weed? What's up?
Not much. It's good to talk to you. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man. So at some point, Alan, in the future, we're going to be talking to your dad. We were supposed to interview him first and then you, but he didn't answer. And you said that he's probably, I don't know, napping or something.
Yeah, that's all right.
Sunday afternoon nap.
Yep.
Sounds like a good plan.
It does sound like a plan.
Right on.
So, Alan, man, I'm assuming you and your dad, or you're a truck driver, and I'm assuming you got that from your dad, right?
Well, it goes back a couple generations, but no, I didn't start driving until I was 35, 36, something like that. But, no, my grandfather, he was a heavy equipment operator up in your neck of the woods. He built a lot of Stroudsburg and areas like that. My dad, he was a truck driver in Vietnam and, did that for a couple of years. And then, he did an oil truck up in Allentown. And my uncle also, did that, but no, I didn't start driving until I was like 36 or something like that. Back in 2004 down here in Florida, we had, 3 hurricanes that came through and money was very, It was lucrative for the business that I was in. And in 08, I seen the housing bubble coming, and I knew it was time to get out of construction. So my dumbass went and got a CDL.
What were you thinking?
See, I knew something went wrong in your life.
That's what happens for everybody. This is like this is the option of last resort. You know, this is what, okay, well, I'll do this now.
Yeah. One of my best friends that I grew up with, he actually was a truck driver first. And you know, I seen the ads where, you know, hey, make $900 to $1,200 a week. I was like, okay, well, that's kind of the money that I need to make, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And if I knew now what I knew then, I probably wouldn't have done it, you know, especially, you know, working on the local side, where they want to work you 14 hours a day, you know, 5 days a week. It's a bit much, but it's kind of ups and downs. I definitely like driving big vehicles. I like the responsibility of it. I just don't like some of the behind the scenes that you have no control over type of thing, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's the everybody else issue, you know? I mean, you're good behind the wheel. You enjoy all that stuff. It's just everybody else that's the problem.
Yeah. Especially routing. I think that's my biggest issue, you know, when it comes to local driving. But, you know, I don't want to spend the whole hour complaining about the trucking industry. It's been very good to me.
Yeah.
So I went to TDI, Truck Driver Institute, down here in Florida. And I know we have some new driver listeners, so I definitely want to throw some information out for them, what to expect and what not to expect. You know, these schools, they teach you how to pass your CDL, how to get your CDL. They really don't teach you how to drive a truck. You know what I mean?
Right.
The one instructor that we had, especially the first week, And, you know, going through the book, the classroom, this guy reminded me of the teacher from South Park. Every, you know, he was very monotone and everything. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to press the brakes in right here. Okay. I had to listen for that for a week.
Oh, that's exciting.
Okay. Yeah. yeah, Tony, that's something you missed out on, didn't you, going to school?
Yeah, I don't think I missed out on it. I would say it was more strategic on my end. I mean, yeah, I didn't want to spend the money for school, so I kind of went the back door into the whole industry. I mean, when I was 21 and I got my Class B to drive school buses, then I started doing the straight truck jobs, and then I went to Pitt, Ohio, one, because I needed money, and then I knew the old man could get me in, and then also I wanted to get my Class A to make more money, but I didn't want to go to school for it, so I knew I'd get trained that way, because, like, right in my first interview, the boss was like, are you willing to drive Class A if we train you? I was like, absolutely, yes.
That's the plan.
Right on.
Because I don't want to be in Center City, Philadelphia, hustling the freight off the straight jobs.
And it's
I don't blame you.
It's a lot easier making 5 stops a day than it is making 28 stops a day in a straight truck.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I kind of went the back way, but and I didn't regret it at all. I enjoyed it. And, you know, because I knew I didn't want to do over the road stuff. My wife didn't want me to do it, so I knew I was gonna be a local driver anyway, so I might as well just go to a local company that's gonna train me.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, so the second week was really fun. That's when they actually got us out of the truck and you know, roll around a little 6-block area, and that 6-block was there was a mall right in the middle of it, so you know, traffic was kind of heavy at times. But we had this one guy who already had a Class B, you know, drove automatic dump truck for, I guess, a little while, but he's in the driver's seat and we're at an intersection and, light turns green, you know, second gear, going to second and third, he's, you know, has to bring it to a dead stop. The instructor says, stop the truck. The guy's like, why? He's like, now stick your head out the window. The driver kind of looks at him. He's like, because I want him to know what kind of idiot's driving this truck. me and the other driver are in the bunk just trying not to laugh our asses off at this guy. That was probably my favorite memory from school.
That's freaking hilarious. Oh, my word, that's hilarious. Let everybody around you know who's driving.
Yeah, I felt so bad for this guy, you know, because he, like I said, he already had a Class B. He's already has experience. You know, and me and the other guy sitting in the bunk, we don't know, you know, anything from anything. Right. I felt bad for this guy.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Yeah. Was he the kind of guy that would have a temper? Did he mouth back at all, or he just kind of let it go?
No, he kind of let it go, but you can tell he did take a hit on his ego, man.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. I tell you what, when you first start driving one of these things, it will freaking flatten your ego.
Yeah,
it, you know, because mm-hmm. you know, especially back in the day when you had to shift gears, you know, mm-hmm. it's a different world now where half the drivers don't even know how to shift, you know, in a big truck. So yeah, it could really screw you up. And it's like, yeah, well, I realize I'm nobody. My life experience up to this point doesn't mean squat.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I remember it was like my first 2 weeks of stuff. I literally would come home and tell my wife, I don't think I'm going to drive tractor trailer. Why? Because I don't think I can figure it out. Like, I was just like, I was defeated. I was just like, I cannot get this backing up thing. Like, it was just driving me nuts.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it clicked. But
And that's usually how it is. I mean, you can struggle with it, and all of a sudden it clicks. I mean, this is not it's a job that anybody can do because it's a skilled job. You learn the skill and that's it. It's just getting it to the point where it clicks for you.
Yeah.
I don't want to scare too many folks out there, but I really didn't get fluent with it until after I went to local because the 2 years that I was an OTR, I was in an automatic.
Right.
You know, but Yeah. So yeah. Right out of school, you know, they had, recruiters coming in from different companies and would talk to the class and with the one instructor that I got along with, he kind of told me about the company that he came from. And he liked it because he was only a week out at a time and come back. So mm-hmm. I figured I would, you know, give that a shot. That sounded okay. You know, I got young kids. I really don't want to be out 30 days at a time. So I went to this one job interview for Armellini Truck Lines. They haul flowers, and you know they're one of the main runs is usually New York. And I really didn't want nothing to do with it, but the way it was explained to me is there's three people in the truck. Since I was a new guy, new hires get $650 a week for the first 3 weeks,
okay.
And then you become a second seat driver, and the second seat driver makes 11 cents per mile. And then you become a first seat driver and they make 16 cents a mile. So I go up to this interview and we're talking and everything's seeming like it's okay. You know, he asked me, he's like, well, what is one type of personality of person you don't like? And the first thing out of my mouth was people from Long Island. And he's like, I'm from Long Island. I was like, oh, no.
Whoops.
So there was like strike one. Yeah. So a little bit later on in the interview, you know, I'm really not wanting to sign my name on this side of the line. Mm-hmm. And so I pull my calculator out and I'm asking him about the money difference. They said, well, you know, you can pay the third seat driver $650 a week. And you know, I said about, you know, how many miles are we going to roll a week? You know, 200, you know, 2,500 miles. And, you know, so I pull out my calculator
right. And
it's like the money's not adding up. You know, and well, so I started asking him about it.
I had a question. That's what I wanted to ask you. Was this 11 cents per mile on top of the $650 a week, or is it just 11 cents?
No.
A mile? It was just 11 cents.
Right, right. You know.
Wow.
So, yeah. Well, the thing that
I think you'd rather be paid in food stamps at that point.
The thing that it wasn't explained very well to me is you get money because you're offloading the truck.
Okay.
All right.
So you get paid
that
hourly
part of
then?
It, well, no, it's a component pay.
Okay.
He's great, you know,
okay,
but
gotcha.
But he didn't really explain that mm-hmm. thoroughly to me. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I'm kind of dumbfounded. I'm looking at my calculator. I'm like, can you explain this to me? And he's like, you know what? I'm going to go out for a cigarette. You need to make up your mind, you know? So he comes back in about 5 minutes and he says, well, have you made up my mind? I said, well, are you going to explain this? He's like, get that's it. This interview's over. Get out of my office.
I would have been like, dude, you can't afford me at 11 cents a mile. So, yeah, you're right. The interview's over. Wow.
Man. Yeah, my very first truck driver job interview, I got thrown out of.
I was going to say, when I learned how to drive back in 93, I want to say they were paying like 25 cents a mile to 35 cents a mile to start. And or 18 mm-hmm. cents a mile with some companies, but I mean that's, you know, still more than 11. And when was this? This, you said this was the middle 80s or middle 2008, around that
yeah,
time, right? Around 2008.
Yeah.
So I mean, I learned, you know, I started driving, you know, 15 years before that, and they were paying more then than these people were, because I mean that is the skilled part of the job is the driving. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you can, you know, hire a lumper to unload it. You know what I mean? You
right.
can do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So unless they're paying you a lot to unload it, 11 cents a mile is two. Just in case anybody hasn't figured it out yet on their calculator, I went ahead and did it. And that's $275 a week at a 2,500 mile
in
week.
In 2008.
In 2008.
Like, this isn't 1980.
I mean, that's part. That's literally part-time money
yeah.
to be gone.
Yeah,
you
right.
know?
I
wanted to figure it out, but I get you. You know, like I said, if they're paying you component pay,
jeez.
That is, you know, basically, you know, where you're going to make, okay, how am I going to make $650 to $700 unloading it? You know, that's where my mind's at.
You know why he threw you out? Because you're probably like the 10th person he interviewed that had the same questions. And he's like, that's it. Just get out. Yeah. I know where this is going. Just leave.
Like, how stupid do you think we are? I mean, I know they think truck drivers are already dumb when they walk in the door. Yeah. They're already dealing with an idiot. But, you know, we know what money is, you know, and we know how to earn it.
Right.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was interesting. I did end up going with another small mom and pop company. And for all you newbies out there, when they say it's a mom and pop company, you're not getting any money. All that money is staying in the family, right?
Right.
So I went with a company called Windy Hill Foliage. They're out of Wisconsin. That's where they dispatch out of. Now, 90% of the drivers they hire are from Florida. They have a yard here down here. But the reason they do that is when it starts snowing, the trucks get shut down, you know. it kind of saves them on the equipment. They don't have to total nothing out.
Right.
But it turned out to be one of the bottom-of-the-barrel companies where they'll hire pretty much Joe Schmo off the street. And they've got some interesting practices where they, you know, if anything happens, they'll want to load your DAC report up. That way you can't go anywhere else, you know.
Right.
What's also interesting about that company is the owner is actually not allowed anywhere on premise of his own company. I guess he got caught selling heavy equipment to Mexico and never, you know, decided to pay his taxes. So IRS said, well, you're not going to be allowed on your property no more.
Now that's hilarious.
It is. Yeah.
Like that doesn't even seem possible.
I know. What? I can't go on my own property?
Right.
It's like you can pay the taxes for that property, but you're not allowed on it.
You can't go near it.
Right. Absolutely.
Unreal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The owner, he was quite a character. You know, he still gets in there and works on trucks, and he looks like a grease monkey. I mean, he's got his overalls on, and he's constantly working on stuff. Mm. He's a nice guy. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. But I mean, you would never know that you're talking to a millionaire when you meet this guy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so,
I like people that are rich like that.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. I just,
they're still real people.
Yeah. Yeah. I like being around somebody and I'm like, man, this guy's cool and stuff. And then like 3 weeks later you find out he doesn't even need to be working. Right. And he's like, I'm actually really rich. I like occupying my time with doing things that you peons do.
you never know. Maybe he dressed like that, you know, to throw IRS off, you know, that way if they ever came in. I'm just a mechanic.
Point. Yep. Good point.
Or maybe he's just trying to figure out how the characters in the Disney movies feel, you know, running away from the castle and living a peasant life.
So they're a bottom of the barrel company, but I, you know, I'm not going to shit on them too much. You know, one thing I mentioned the DAC report. One time I had to pick up a trailer, and as soon as I picked it up, you know, I'm inspecting it. You know, I open up the back door, and the door just about falls in half, almost falls on top of me. You know, so I called in, and hey, you know, this door is in like two pieces. You know, just run it. We'll get it down to the top of Florida, and then we'll fix it when it's down there. You know, and on the outside of the door is fine. It's the inside of the door that, you know, kind of busted up, right?
Okay.
So anyways, I do what they say. I take it down here to Florida. I drop it off. About 2 weeks later, they're hitting me up. Well, that door is damaged, so we're gonna, you know, take it out of your paycheck. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. You ain't taking nothing out of my paycheck. I already called, told you about it. I told you the door was, you know, damaged. You know, so why are you going to try to get money out of me? You know, well, you know, it was told to us that you had, when you backed the trailer up, that the door was up against a palm tree and the driver could see light on the inside of the trailer. It was like, well, wait a minute. if the trailer's parked up against the tree, how is he going to get inside the trailer to see light coming through, for one?
Right.
You know, and yeah, but they ended up getting $19 out of my paycheck to replace part of the seal for the back door, you know. Wow. And they're wanting to put it on my back, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, some shady people, man.
Yep. That's the kind of stuff that happens. That's the kind of stuff that happens in this industry.
Yeah. So how's Pitt, Ohio, when it comes to vehicle damage?
They try
to take it out of the driver.
I'll take this one, Dan.
Go for it.
That way you don't. If anything gets said that shouldn't be said, you don't get in trouble.
There you go.
Just for clarification, before I say anything, for the official notice here, this is not pre-scripted conversation. This is a conversation that was not planned, and my dad has no idea what I'm about to say, and neither do I. So, So all right, Pitt, Ohio, they're pretty good, actually. I've had issues with being a city driver. Things happen, and I'm trying to think I've had plenty of incidents, but I don't think I ever had an at fault incident. Mm-hmm. Maybe once, and it was one of those things where I was so pissed off it even happened, because it was so stupid, and I'm pretty sure I actually did get charged for this. It was so stupid, and I had my own run. It was a trailer run, and that day they decided to put me in a straight truck, mm-hmm. and I was like, mother, you know, but it was so stupid because. It was a residential delivery to, you know, upscale, I'm talking like when you're in the Philly area and you got a residential delivery, some of the places you got a residential delivery to is like a mansion, you know, the driveway's super long, it's windy, all that stuff. And you got like 2,000 pound skid of salt for their driveway. And so you're not going to pull it up the hill of their driveway. You got to back the truck up and mm-hmm. stuff. Anyways, I remember this one place was kind of like that, and it was just enough for my truck to actually fit on the driveway. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, and my one tire got the grass, and it pushed down because it was rainy, and kind of made the grass look bad, I guess. And I reported it because I didn't want these rich people coming home saying, your driver drove all our lawn, and then all of a sudden Pitt saying I didn't report the accident, and I'm fired over something retarded. Mm-hmm. So I reported it, and I'm pretty sure I got charged for that. But, you know, that was probably the most minor thing, because I just posted on Instagram. I found pictures on my phone this past week and I know I talked about it on the show a couple of times, I think, where I was at a red light, and I was in a left-hand turning lane where the light was at an intersection where it splits as a Y, so you can go right or left. That's it, though. So I'm in the left-hand turning lane to go left at the Y, and this lady in the right lane decides to cut me off as I'm going through because the light turned green. I start going, and you'd think like, a car just accelerate and get in front of me if you're going to do it, right?
Right.
So she just takes her good old time, but because she's so close to the front of the truck, I don't see her, mm-hmm. and I caught her and I hit her and stuff, and she gets out of her car, and she's cussing at me, and that's when I just stayed in my truck. I'm just called the police, and like, I ain't getting out until the police are here because I don't need any issues. I'm trying to think, but they've always been, you know, real kind of cool about that, and you know, if the police report says that it's not your fault, it's not your fault. And also during snowstorms, so I mean, like, you know, you drove local, you know, during snowstorms you're still running, and you know, the nice thing with Pitt is that they're like, hey, listen, if something happens and you're out there in the snow, you know, unless it's something crazy.
Yeah, the biggest thing with Pitt, Ohio is that they just want you to report it. As long as you report it, as long as you report it to them, they don't charge you as far as paying for the damages. When Tony says mm-hmm. they charge you, it's just a chargeable accident or not a chargeable accident.
And that's
just a differentiation. But, you know, so as long as you report the accidents, when you do something and you don't report it, that's when they really kind of come down.
Let me tell you this, though.
Right on.
We had a pretty bad snowstorm. We went out, did our jobs anyways.
Which we always do at Pitt, Ohio.
Yeah.
You know, because if we stopped driving in the wintertime when it snowed, we wouldn't do anything all winter long.
Right.
So I'm in my truck and I'm backing. This is actually after a snowstorm. So it was just mounds of snow everywhere because the parking lots and stuff were just plowed. And I'm backing my truck in, because you're backing a truck in with mounds of snow everywhere, it's a little less space to work with. And I wound up catching my bumper on a mound of snow, and it pulled it off to the point that I had to bring the truck back because it wasn't. It
was that mound of snow made of concrete?
Well, it was like ice, you know.
Wow.
But so I take my truck back, and we didn't have any other trucks, so I went over to Penske and got a rental. And I get the rental, and I go out, do my run and stuff. I took the bumper off that one, too, that same day. And so I call.
Learn from the first one.
it's not powder. It's ice.
I almost feel like the day before when it was actually snowing, I had something happen. Because I just remember calling safety again. I'm just like, hey, it's me again.
Just keep this line open, please. we'll talk again.
I'm pretty sure you have my number sitting in front of you. You don't need that information. I'm just letting you know it happened again.
I'll friend you on Facebook. It'll be easier.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what though. I mean, you asked how Pitt, Ohio is and stuff. I remember in that moment, I wasn't worried because right. I was like, I know this is they're not gonna because right. Once I explained it to them, I'm literally putting the truck in a spot that it's not really meant to be in space-wise, but I'm doing it because there's nothing else I can do. They were fine right. and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Talk about, driving local, driving, city and stuff like that. My local part, I do work for US Food. I've been with them for 11, 12 years.
Okay.
And we have this one stop where it's one way in, one way out, and you can't see what's in that parking lot before you turn. And so I remember the first time I was there, okay, take a left here and it's going to be 200 yards down. Well, when I got in there, I didn't see that the parking lot was full, and I wasn't able to, I couldn't see how I was going to get the truck turned around. Mm-hmm. There happened to be a boat ramp.
Well, any port in a storm,
the boat ramp to make the U-turn to get out of there. Yeah. So yeah, it's, they're famous for, putting up, 48 where, 28 should be,
right.
Yeah.
Heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually, just this week have been dealing with, the leasing of two moving trucks for when we move. And, we got an Airbnb for when we get down there the first night because the next day is closing on the house we're buying. And so I'm like, where am I going to put these two trucks? Because it's in a residential. Mm-hmm. And I saw there was a church, a small church. I was like looking at it on the satellite on Google. And I'm like, it's going to be tight. But I think if I back the trucks into their parking lot, it'll fit there. But I wanted to make sure. I emailed the pastor of the church, and he emailed me back. He's like, how big are the trucks? And I told him, he's like, that's not going to fit in our small parking lot and stuff. And I said, I promise you, if you let me try, I'll get in a fit. And I said, I won't hit anything.
I won't run under your grass.
I didn't tell him I'm a former truck driver, though. I said, I'm a truck driver. I have a CDL. I sent him a picture of my license. I said, I promise you, I can fit the trucks in your parking lot. And he said, I could just hear it in the Southern accent. He's like, all right, son. He's like, if you want to give it a shot, but I'm just letting you know. I got my work cut out for me when I get down there.
Yes, you do.
Because I remember looking at it on the satellite. I'm like, it's going to be tight. But I didn't want to leave the truck with my entire house of belongings in a Walmart parking lot miles right. away because, somebody robs it or something.
exactly.
I'm in trouble. So, yeah. And he said that where their church is at is known for robberies, too. I'm like,
oh, nice.
I'm like, okay, so like you mentioned about getting locks for the truck. That's right. definitely going to be happening. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
buddy.
I might just sleep in the truck, to be honest with you, because I don't want to take any chances. Oh, man. Anyways, Alan, how you doing, man?
I'm good.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. So where are we at? We're at two levels below Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was the only time that I had to go east of the viaduct in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. That's usually where all the low bridges are. Okay. It was low that I had to pick up, and it was at the bottom of the Hilton, I believe it was. So as you come in, you're actually making a bunch of rights, and as you're making these bunch of rights, you're descending. So you're actually, I was two levels underneath of Chicago. Wow. And that's where the loading dock was. Okay. for this delivery. Yeah. And right across the street, you know, that's where you see a bunch of homeless people bundled up. And this is in the middle of winter. I learned how to drive truck in the middle of winter up in the Midwest. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That does sound like a lot of fun.
That's like a sink or swim kind of thing.
Yeah, right. And so, that was nothing. I mean, it was hairy getting down there. It was hairy getting out of there because I got these, you know, cars that are used to driving in that area of Chicago. And, you know, hell, I'm just getting used to the truck and now I got to navigate this. Oh my God, what the hell, you know?
Yeah.
But
go ahead.
I didn't realize that they had loading docks, you know, two layers below Chicago.
Right.
Yeah.
That is crazy. That is crazy.
When I was, when I got hired at Pitt. Mm-hmm. So, I remember at one of my former jobs, we were in the city, and it was a job where you had a partner because you were moving heavy equipment. Mm-hmm. And he was talking to me about going underground for deliveries, and I never did it though. Mm-hmm. I got to Pitt, and you had to do it. And especially when you're the new guy, you're going to Center City almost every day.
Yep, you're the guy.
And I remember the first time, I had no idea that it was underground. And I'm looking around, I'm like, I can't find this place at all. And so you bring it back, and then you find out it's underground. And then the next three or four times, you're like, you're finding excuses not to do it, you know? Because I'm like, it sounds terrifying. I don't want to do it, you know? And then you finally just got, I think it was like 1800 Market Street. That just comes in my head now. I feel like that's where the underground docks are. But like in Philly, you go like down this ramp and you turn right and you turn left, and it's just this long stretch of tons of underground docks that go for blocks underground. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. It just, yep. You get used to it, I guess. But like the thing is, I don't know how it was where you were at. I'm sure it's pretty similar, actually. Old city underground dock, like there wasn't a lot of space down there. And no. So like if there's trucks, right, that multiple trucks trying to get down there, especially like say you have like the same docking area, you have like three or four trucks waiting, and like it's tight, and you don't, it's just, it was like, cause once you get down there, you ain't getting out.
Nope.
Like you gotta,
right.
It's one way, dude. It's one way.
Yeah. Like you gotta get to where you need to get to back your truck in. And then there was cars and trucks parked along the road. They're trying to back into dock, just barely making it. It was a nightmare. No, I don't recommend it. Underground docks suck.
Yeah. You know, out of the 100 episodes that I've listened to, you haven't had any driver talk about the one out in Kansas City. If there's an old World War II, military, you know, a dumb bunker. But we actually had deliveries in there. They got businesses in there now. And, you do all that. And then he's like, yeah, go over here to pillar 162 and turn left. It's like Hillary to 162. What are you talking about? You know? But yeah, no, these pillars are the size of a small house. You know what I mean? It's not like a, you know, it's just uncarved rock. You know.
Yes.
But all of them have like numbers and yeah, it made it like a big circle underneath this mountain. That was interesting.
I think I've seen pictures of those online because sometimes people will send me pictures. It's usually one picture, and it's like an underground dumb kind of looking thing. Mm-hmm. But there's docks, and there's these trailers dropped in these docks, and people are like, "What is this?" And I'm like, "I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that Walmart doesn't just park their trailers in secret dumps." But I wonder if that's the same one, because I don't know what that location is other than the fact that people send me the same picture over and over again. But I wonder if it's the same place.
That could be it. Yeah, that could be the place.
Because it's like the whole docking area, if what you're talking about is the same thing I'm talking about, is like carved out of rock, and you go in and like, I mean, it's just like you're inside of a mountain. Is that what it's like for you, what you're talking about?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. On the stretch that I was, I went and made a left, and as you're going up, you know, you got rock on your right, and you got businesses, you know, loading docks on your left, mm-hmm. You know, and this is kind of how it was until, you know, you came out of there. But yeah, that was definitely interesting. You know, I think they got like a 14-foot ceiling, so you're looking up, and it's just inches. You know.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. I've done the underground. Well, the below ground deliveries and pickups and crap like that when I worked for the produce company years and years and years and years and years ago. And I did a couple of them for Pitt, over North Jersey. There was a couple of inside deliveries like that where you had to go inside the building and kind of below, but nothing major or anything like that. And I did that so many years ago that it's like a distant memory. And I'm very happy about
it. It's like reading a bad report card. You see the evidence that you did it, but you don't remember any of the things you did to get that bad report card.
It's like your dad goes, how did you get this D? I don't know. That's just the answer. I don't know.
It's clearly it happened, but I don't know how we got there.
Forget it. It's a blur.
Oh, man. So, all right. Well, I mean, what about these Texas bridges? You have a note here. I mean, anytime somebody says new driver errors with bridges, there's got to be a story.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah. So, woke up that day and I noticed that as I made a left out of my parking spot, I heard a little clunk. And I've been hearing this little clunk for, about a week now. I'm thinking, there's something going on. So, I stopped and, check this, the steering linkages, everything looks good, so I'm driving down the road and every now and then I start hearing the clunk clunk, and now it's starting to get a little bit more frequent. I'm thinking, I wonder if that's a U-joint. So I stop the truck, pop the brake, got under there, and all U-joints are good, so get back in the truck and now it's starting to happen a lot. Clunk, and now I lost 10th gear and I'm going down, then I'm losing knife. I'm losing gear by gear, right? And so I'm calling it in, and hey, I think the transmission's on the fridge, and just keep going, and so and finally I lost all the gear, and I'm on top of this little bridge in Texas, and it's a two-lane road. A lot of the two-lane roads out in Texas are 70 mile an hour. Right. So I got to get off this bridge, and the only gear I got left is reverse. And so I put it in reverse just to get off the bridge, and the shoulder is only like a foot and a half, 2 foot before there's the guardrail, and happened to clip it just enough of the bumper to bend it up just a little bit to get off that bridge. Right. So. I call in and dude, the truck's done, dude. And he's like, well, do me a favor, throw the power divider in, see what happens. And I got all my gears back. Down the road I went. So it was the spider gears in the rear end that went out of the first rear end. So we bypassed that to get me up to where I needed to be. But that is my fault. I should have just completely stopped until they figured out what to do. That it stopped on top of the bridge. But
right.
So, what the new driver error, new drivers always carry ratchet straps with you and a little hammer. Mm-hmm. So so I didn't want to lose my safety bonus. I found a power pole and I got my ratchet straps out and I started straightening that bumper out.
Amen, brother. You do what you got to do.
they didn't even know about it.
Yes, sir. Always keep with you a small hammer, ratchet straps, and a couple of vice grip type pliers. Those things kind of in a screwdriver. Just a few little necessities. You don't have to have a whole toolbox with you. You just need a few things. Bungee cords.
Yep. A little tap, tap, tap.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, sir. That's a word to the wise. If you don't have those tools with you in your truck, get them.
I would add that local drivers, that little kit you just described, where they keep it looks a lot different than what OTR drivers have. So, like and you know where I'm going with it. Yeah. Like local drivers have a milk crate on the passenger side floor.
Yes, sir.
With all that stuff.
I have all my little tools inside a little box underneath the passenger seat.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't bounce, it doesn't move. It's not an air ride seat. It's just a stationary seat.
Yep.
It's all in a little plastic box. It's like, but I've got them just in case.
Yeah.
You never know. You just got to plan for the worst. But that's go ahead.
No. That was the whole new driver error thing. The first month after training, when you're in the truck by yourself for that first month, and that's where you're really going to stretch your limits and try to figure out how much can I bend this truck. And, you know, I bent one of the wings up. It's fiberglass, so it didn't hurt that. But the metal bracket made a U. So you know, here I am at a truck stop. I take that little bracket off and put it underneath the landing gear, you know, and get that all straightened back out. Nice and straight.
Yes, sir.
Put that back on. Use what you got, right?
You know what? I'll tell you what. Now, you saying that just reminded me. Now I remember my other chargeable. I had just gotten my trailer license, and I went to a delivery, and it's the classic veteran driver knows this rule, newbie usually doesn't. Don't trust the customer when they say you can fit somewhere.
Yes.
And
right.
I remember I did this delivery, and it was behind a business where they park all their cars, and you just pulled the tractor trailer up instead of backing in, which is something that I learned to do more and more. But I pulled the truck up and in there, and it's just enough space to fit between the cars. And I unloaded everything. And then the guy that I was talking to that unloaded me, he's real nice. He's like, yeah, man, this is just real happy. And, you know, oh, let me help you out, brother. You need some water? You know, one of those guys, just really cool. And so you can trust him, right?
Right.
And so I was like, I guess I got to back out of here. And the way you get in is like you turn in, and then before you get to where I needed to go, the parking lot literally turned to the left with the trailer. It was tight, right? And you're new. And so I'm like, I'm just kind of talking this out loud. I'm like, I guess I got to back out of here. And he's like, oh, no, man, you can spin around up there at the end. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, you see where all that space is right there with no cars? And like, yeah. And he's like, trucks spin around there all the time. I was like, really? Okay. And I was like, I don't know. That looks kind of tight. But the guy said he sees it happen all the time. So yeah. So I go up to the end of the parking lot, and I start cranking the turn, and I'm taking my time. I'm going slow, you know? And it's the point where now I'm looking out my passenger side door, and all I see is the trailer, you know, because it's the truck is just jacked,
totally jacked,
so tight.
Yeah.
And and so just as I realize this isn't going to work, I need to back out of this. Just as I realized that, before my foot got to hit the brake, I hear it. And I pinched the wing to the trailer.
The fairing, yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm like, oh no, you know, I'm paranoid. I'm going to get fired for this and all that stuff. And so I call it in, I go back, and the mechanic, all he does is bend it out. Mm-hmm. It didn't cost the company anything.
Right.
And I'm not going to say who, okay? But a veteran driver came up to me and he said, dude, next time something like that happens, don't call it in. He said, just bring it back and they'll bend it out. It's not a big deal. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, but yeah. So I got charged for having a jackknife. When you say like, if I were to say to somebody, yeah, I jackknifed my trailer one time, right, they'd be like, oh my God.
Were you okay?
Yeah, were you okay? Did you survive?
Where are you going?
I was like, no, I was just a little mentally...
It was a mental jackknife. Yeah.
I was mentally held back that day. So yeah. I knew I was forgetting a chargeable, and that was that. So there you
never
go.
Trust the customer. Never.
Yeah, one time I was up in North Carolina, I was getting a load of Christmas trees, and there was a truck in front of me getting loaded. So I watched him pull out. You know, he went up and cut it to the left and went up the hill and out about. Okay, so now I know how to get out. So after I get loaded, I do the same thing. And as soon as you turn your tractor, it's starting to go uphill, and your trailer is still kind of level. Well, my trailer decided to sever the emergency line, the red line. And so I'm out here in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's probably 45 minutes to the nearest town. And I'm thinking, I'm going to be stuck here all night. You know, I ain't got no break. Luckily, they had a spare line that that the farmers were able to put on for me, so I was at least able to get out of there. But
yeah, good. Thank God for
crazy.
That.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's just funny. You know when a customer tells you something like that. Well, yeah, guys do that all the time. Yeah, UPS in a little 28-foot pup does that.
Right.
Your 53 footer is not going to go do that. No.
Isn't it funny though? Like, I mean, like, and I'm sure both of you felt like this at times throughout your time of driving, where you get yourself in a situation and you're just like, how the heck am I going to get out of this? I mean, looking back and stuff, I mean, maybe it's a new driver thing where you feel like that more than anything else. Because I remember that time that I was charged with that jackknife. Mm-hmm. Like, after I heard the crunch, I got out and looked at it, and I'm looking at how, like, I got here. It's like, okay, how the heck am I going to get out of this? Like, how am I going to turn? Like, can I back this trailer out now the way I'm positioned? And right. Then I got to back around those cars. And it's just like, sometimes you're just like, I don't know. This seems like it's going to be a multiple accident scenario.
That's why I drive at night, and I'm a line haul driver. The tightest spot I get into is at a terminal.
You know? So,
which was the Norristown terminal for the longest time, right?
It was, yes.
So like our old terminal in Norristown
sucked.
So like you pull on one side of the building, and the side of the building you pulled in on was so tight, and they'd be like, "Put your 53 over there." And it's like
in between two other 53s.
Yes. Yeah.
So and you're like, "What?"
Yeah. Like the worst stop of my day was coming back at night to the terminal, and so when we moved to the new terminal, there's some good news and bad news. What's that? Well, the good news is there's a lot more space in the parking lot. The bad news is
there's a lot less space between the doors.
Because the terminal was built for pup trailers
and a yard horse. Yes. It's not made for. Take a look at me, dude. Do I look like I'm fitting between those trailers,
there's guys that are bigger. So what do you, I'm assuming what you do is you drop your legs down, then back it
back
in
and drop the bags.
Yeah, that's what,
that's
a lot
it.
Of
that's all you
it.
Can do.
Yep.
Unless they give you a door that is, you know, open the other side is open, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, I can do that. Yep. It just sucks.
Yeah, you learn the tricks.
You learn it all. Because some of Harrisburg's doors are like that. Half of the terminal is that way. It's real tight. So, and then the other half, the new half, when they added onto it, that's a lot more spaced out.
Again, I'm not going to drop the driver name because I know he still drives there, but he was a new at driving trailer. Mm-hmm. And he got to, it was when you have the snow. And then the snow melts and the trailer's sitting a lot lower than it should be. So he backs up to it and he's like, you know, I
can't get under it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So like, I remember I saw him getting out and winding the freaking thing up. And I'm like, bro, drop your bags. And so he drops the bags and he goes underneath it. And it's just, it was just enough that he get the lip under the trailer, but his tires were spinning. I said, dude, just ram that bitch. And I'm just like, just hit the gas, just pull forward and just go.
Start going back.
And it was so funny though, because his face was like, he was like, I'm so scared to do this. But he got it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I learned that from a guy saying the same exact thing to me, you know? So it is what it is.
Learning curves, man. Learning curves.
Yes, sir.
So tell me about your local years, because that was all over the road and then you go local. What took you to local driving?
Well,
over the road. That's enough.
Yeah, right. Now, even my boss, my OTR boss, he knew what my plan was, you know, do my 2 years and go home and get something local. He told me that truck driving is a lazy man's job, and I actually took offense to it. You know, that I came from piecework. That's what I've done my entire life. You know, I'm a go getter. You know, so he already knew that I was going to go local. So I did my 2 years, my 1 month and 1 day, enough to get my vacation pay out of them, and a week later I started working where I'm working now, where the second largest food distributor in the nation, and our division is actually the second largest in the nation, and we've got the oldest truck.
Isn't that the way?
So
it goes?
I've flipped like four trucks that had over a million miles on them. The truck that I'm driving now has got over a million miles on it.
Wow.
I didn't realize it at the time, but actually I got more rest, more sleep out on the road than I do here. Going from, you know, just doing your 600 miles a day to now you're doing less miles, but it's more physical work because you're offloading anywhere from 85,000 to 100,000 pounds of food every week. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that shit kind of takes a toll on you after a while.
Yes, it does.
But yeah, so I did delivery for them for 10 years, and last October before last, I went into what you're doing, Brian, just doing shuttles in line hauls. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I do 500 miles a night. I go from Daytona to Tampa, back to Daytona, and then up to Jacksonville and back. So, and do that, you know, 5 nights a week. I like it. It's less dealing with because the way that it worked before is if they give you a route, you would have, you know, 14, 15 stops on it. Mm-hmm. Well, if you start getting done and you still got a little bit of time on the clock, you're going to come in next week and you're going to have 19 stops on that route.
Right.
You know,
and you have no time left. Yes.
It's like, what are you doing? You know, I finally got my customers lined up. I know what I'm doing and you're screwing me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
So,
well, how do they pay?
Yeah.
Do they pay all right? You know, as far as line haul goes, I mean, you know, I might want to move to Florida or something at some point.
Yeah, actually. We got an 8% pay raise. Nice. This past year. Yeah. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Some interesting stories when it comes to local, like I said, putting a trailer down into a boat ramp to get out. Do you remember on Disney property, there was a family vacationing and their kid was too close to the water and a gator came up and, you know,
the kid. Yep. I remember that.
Yeah, it turns out there was some firefighters on the other side of the lake that used to feed the gators and stuff, right? Well, and this was still kind of on Disney property. There's a hotel, and as you enter into the parking garage, the loading dock is immediately on your left. So I'm in the dock, and it's only for two trucks. So there are two trucks in there, and they had. Another truck that just pulled in is waiting for one of us to back out. Well, as he pulled in, there was a gator that ran underneath this truck and all the way down to where the loading dock, you know, where the trucks meet at the loading dock. And you could tell the gator was scared. He was probably 6.5 foot. You know, I don't think he was hungry. I just think he got discombobulated and went the wrong way, you know, and so the hotel didn't know what to do. They called the cops. Cops were, you know, had to call the wildlife.
Right.
And I got shit to do. I can't stay here and, you know, while y'all figure it out. So I had to jump over the gator to go get my truck to get out of there, right?
Yes, sir.
So when I was there the next week, the receiving guy, he's like, it's a good thing you took off when you did, because they didn't let anybody off the dock and it took them about 3 hours to get the thing out of here.
Wow.
Like, oh my God. Right.
Talk about throwing your day behind.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You had an interaction with a Florida gator once, didn't you?
Yeah, when I was
this is one of those distant memories that you,
this is back when
happened, but you don't have a hard time remembering it.
Between my junior and senior year of high school, which was forever ago, longer ago than when I started driving trucks, you know? And I was out, my sister lived in Florida, and I had gone down because she had just moved. Her husband was in service. She just moved down. She just got married. So my parents were like, well, why don't you go down with your sister for the summertime? I'm like, wait, trying to get rid of me? You know?
Probably.
Yeah, exactly. So I went down, and she, like, you know, she was like 3 miles from the beach. I saw the beach twice all summer long. I was like, she was like, I don't want to go. She was pregnant and yada, yada, yada. So she didn't ever want to go to the beach. I was like, all right. So I'm going for a walk down this freaking road. And I'm walking back up to the apartment complex, and there's a gator right in the middle of the road. I was like, this sucks. I'm a PA guy, you know? I've never seen a gator in real life. I've seen them on TV where it's safe to look at them, you know? So, it's like, okay, I'm going to run fast.
So, I'm not, like, ever doing Florida because gators
and iguanas,
and you got those giant snakes.
I don't want iguanas dropping out of trees on me because they're cold.
I'm pretty sure you still got those wild monkeys in the woods that came from like that carnival that had an accident. Like, you guys got the freak stuff down there. I ain't doing it, man. Not happening.
It's like that island of Dr. Moreau down there in Florida. You know?
It's like welcome to
weird crap.
It's like if you ever see the meme of the Simpsons where Homer walks into a bar and he sees his son working a cash register and he just turns around and walks back out and stuff. And like that's what I'm going down south. If I see a sign that says welcome to Florida, I just turn right around, go back out. That's it. Not happening.
Too far. I missed my exit.
They have dinosaurs in Florida.
Stuff down here that'll kill you. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
I mean, it's freaking dinosaurs, bro. Like, you can keep the dinosaurs for yourself. I ain't taking that.
Okay. All right. What is the swinger club?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so did you get a membership?
No, I did not. It's an old hotel that you clean the rooms that you can buy, and when you're a member of it, and so you've got your own room anytime you go down there. But it's one of the deliveries that we have to do. You know, they got to eat too, right? So
they got to keep their strength up.
So you know, the driver's sitting around the driver's room waiting to get the paperwork stuff. Like one of our guys, he actually got a video of it. You know, before it was on my route. So he's showing me this video. And Pepsi Pete, we call him Pepsi Pete. He used to work for Pepsi, but he's just slow motion, like just filming the entire room for 180 degrees, and he's like, "Wow, look at this big cabinet that's still there," and he just all sorts of chairs and stuff like that. So when it was on my route, I was like, "Oh, this is the room that Pete filmed," and sure shit. I mean, they all sorts of, like, you know, I don't want to call them the tooth chairs, but the dominatrix axes and chairs and swings and then they close that door off, and now we have to actually go down the hallway to where the pool area is, and then go down to the left, so you're actually inside the complex, and there's swingers out there hanging at the pool, you know, the topless, and freaking, you know, you got the thong swinging, and damn, dude.
Wow.
That is a lot better of a place to deliver to than the nudist colony. Because the people.
Now, hold on a second, Alan. Listen, you got to be careful because we have somebody from the early days. We did a show called The Nudist Colony
Blues.
And because we were laughing at this whole idea of just being a nudist, we actually got an email from somebody who was part of a nudist colony, her and her husband, and she was quite offended that we laughed at this notion. So just be careful, Alan, because I don't want to offend anybody.
Hey,
and that's also if you don't sense the sarcasm, I actually invite you to offend.
The irony about that is the driver from that episode works with the same company actually. we've all known about this this colony, and I just happened to end up on my route one day, you know, so. Okay, let's get this on. And so I go out there, and the owner of the facility says, "Well, usually we have the truck go all the way to the down to the area that it needs to, but this weekend we have 300 college kids in here, and it's mega packed, so we're just gonna receive the truck up here." Okay, fine. But you still have to get the truck out of there, and it's kind of like a one way thing. And it's in the middle of the woods, so you got trees everywhere, and it's not like you can just turn the truck around. So you got to follow the whole thing around the entire complex. It's probably, you know, 5-6 roads that are parallel that make the big giant square. But the owner of this colony, she was the funniest one. You know, sitting and talking with her, she's just rattling jokes off about, you know, some of the people. And she's like, well, you know, it's kind of like the old naked people of Walmart that we have here today. Okay. She says, you can drive around if you want to see. And it's like, well, I said, well, I got to drive around to get the damn truck out of here.
I'm going to see all I need to see just getting out.
Oh, yeah. 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 And nobody wants to see old balls, right?
Oh. He's got no comment. He's like,
I'm trying. We're gonna
move on.
We're moving on from the
the naked lady walking down the road. That was actually just recently, not too long ago, and it was actually almost right in front of my division. I was coming back from Tampa, and about to take my 30-minute break, whatever, mm-hmm. and noticed big naked lady walking on the side of the road. Like, okay, that's kind of odd. You know, I've driven down this road every day for 12 years, and this is the first time I've ever seen that. And I should have stopped and offered her a blanket and called, because she's walking away from me, so it's not like I could see her face. You know what I mean?
Right.
So my initial thought was, I gotta go. But my secondary thought was, you know, maybe she was in distress. You know, I don't know if something happened.
Sure.
But when my break was up, I did notice two police cars going kind of fast in the other direction. And I know there's a fire department right around the corner. Mm-hmm. So hopefully somebody did something right and called and got her some help or whatever. But when you see a naked person on the side of the road, it you know, I guess that's, you know, usually not your first thought of, oh, damn, they might need some help, right?
Right. Especially, you know, and you know, when you think about that, especially if it's in an area where you've been up and down that road for the past 12 years and you've never seen this before. If this is like something where the lady that lives down that road does this every day, you know. But
right.
It's something that's just kind of out of the blue and there, boom, there she is. Yeah, that's kind
right.
of, that should be a, you know, red flag for us to, hey, you know, maybe she's in distress. And if she's not, she's just put me into distress. You know, it's like, I need to go.
Right on.
My break's
right
over. On. You know, lunch is done. I'll drink my soda after I leave.
Yeah. Yeah. So, down here in Florida, we've been kind of blessed that we haven't had too many hurricanes in the past 2 years. But, working for this company, it seems like they have to get every customer delivered like as the hurricanes entering our shores. So DOT wanted all the trucks off the road by 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And this was on a Thursday, on my Thursday route, which was usually a 12-hour route. So that means I would get back around 4 and everything would be good. I'd get home just enough time to throw the launchers in the bottom of the pool so the wind doesn't blow away, right? Mm-hmm. So I show up to work, and on top of my 12-hour route, they've also went ahead and put on an additional 5 stops. Wow. And I don't know how they fit it in the trailer, but they ended up putting 800 damn cases of water on my truck that they wanted me to deliver by hand. You know, you can put 10 on the cart, you know, and it's 80 freaking extra trips of water, you know. And so I was proactive in my thinking, and I got another trailer that had a lift gate, and that way I didn't have to ramp all this water. I can just put it down a lift gate, here you go, right?
Right.
So this is one of the short old lift gates where, you know, as it pulls down, you take the pallet and the pallet jack, and as you're getting to the end of the trailer, you actually have to turn the pallet so it'll fit onto this little tiny lift gate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, these pallets of water are, you know, 2,500 pounds. So when you take that turn and it wants to topple and go, it's getting slingshotted right off the back of that tailgate at 4 feet off the ground. the customer that this happened to, I think he ordered like 500 cases of water, and he was going to freaking price gouge it. I mean, he was getting it for $250. He was going to turn around and sell it for $5 for a case of water.
Wow!
Right? So I was kind of happy that
you lost half of it.
His shit fell out the back of the truck, but it just I remember another hurricane that we had. They were sending fully loaded trucks out, and the businesses are, we're closed. You got to go. We're not going to take shit, So we were sending, fully loaded trucks are rolling back, like I said, the DOT wanted us off the road at 5 o'clock. We had one driver come across the panhandle, and he didn't even get back in until like 10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
Thanks for thinking of us, guys.
Yes, amen, brother. Sometimes it makes you wonder. I've seen that so many times, and it's like, you know what it's like up here in the snow belt.
Yeah.
And we get the signs to come across the highway, no empty trailers after midnight, because of a snowstorm or whatever.
Yeah.
Fun times. Enough said.
Fun times.
I don't want to incriminate myself or anybody else. it's crazy because that's the stuff that drives me nuts, but it is what it is. It's the trucking industry. So,
Yeah.
So, one time I was out in Ocala, and down here, when we have a rainstorm, it usually only lasts, 10, 20 minutes, and it's back to blue skies. Well, so it's downpouring. I'm on the backside of this daycare, and it's got a chain link fence going all the way around the backside of it. And there's a lock on the gate. So I call in. She's got to come out and unlock the gate. And so the rain's just about to die down. So I open up my door, and just as I put my hand on that chain link fence, and she was unlocking the gate at the same time, there was a lightning strike that happened out on the front side of the plaza. But it hit one of the telephone poles, and it surged through all the lines. And it, like I said, it when I put my hand on that fence, it was the exact time that lightning struck. Woo! We got
wow.
That was fun.
Yeah, what a way to light you up. That'll get your day.
Yeah.
Holy crap! Oh wow!
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say. I mean, that's some of the things that I'm always scared of is the lightning strikes. It's just a terrifying thing for me. I get like terrified.
Well, if I was as tall as you, I'd be terrified, but because you're taller than me, I can stand next to you and you'll get hit first. So
I like watching lightning storms and stuff. I think they're fascinating from inside, even a car, but the idea of being outside night,
it's time crazy
to get inside.
Is doing what we do. And it during a lightning storm or whatever, and you have to get out and crank your landing gear down. You're grabbing a hold of a metal bar to crank the landing gear. And you're like, wait a second here. This is the night that it's going to happen.
Yeah. And it's like you're in the middle of one of the worst lightning storms you have ever seen in your entire life. And you just so happen to find yourself having to be on some really high uphill parking lot. What was that?
Oh, I'm out front. That was okay.
I was like, are you farting or something, bro? Like,
holy crap. You know what? If that's if that's passing gas, it's more than just gas. You better check your bridges.
Tony, I thought we were going to be done with the poop story.
I
would prefer it to be that way, but I thought you were like forcing the issue. Like I was like, dang.
Oh, that's funny, man.
Yeah. I mean, anyways, lightning sucks. Moving on.
Yes, it does.
Tony, you're moving down to Tennessee. You're actually going to be surrounded by a lot more tornadoes than you are up in Redding.
Well, I would say Eastern Tennessee doesn't have them as bad as Western Tennessee.
But
this is true.
Did you hear the operative word there? As bad.
Well, I mean, we get them around here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like I mean, I'm going to be living very close to the Smoky Mountains. So, I mean, like, you know, I'm not too worried about it. You know?
Yeah, you and Ronnie Millsap, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know who that is. I don't know how many times on this show you guys say something that I'm just like, I don't know who
it's
that
a musical
is.
Reference. I'm sorry.
But, yeah, when I was over the road, it's just about every spring, you know, you're always 20 minutes away from a tornado. You know, it's just the way that it was out there.
It is crazy. It is. And that would worry me more than lightning strikes. You know,
yeah,
that's me. But what about your dead bodies?
Stacking up.
Well, yeah. No, not backing up. I didn't run anybody over.
I would hope not. I didn't think you did.
No, I've seen more dead bodies doing this job than I've seen in my entire life. Over the road, you know, you see crosses where people get hit on the road. One of the scariest things was to see five crosses in one area. You know, like a family was on vacation and just got fucking plowed or something.
Wow. So
that scared me. But I was doing a delivery and out back it was somebody I had a heart attack in their freaking car and the car's kind of just rolling across the parking lot and they opened the door and popped right out, you know.
Wow.
We also deliver to like hospice facilities and as you're making a delivery in, they're freaking, you know, willing to body out, you know.
Right.
Wow. I mean, it's sad.
It is. I mean, it's part of life, but at the same time, it can be kind of shocking, you know.
Yeah.
The first couple of times, you know.
Recently, this was probably about 2 months ago, where it was, there's seven of us that usually run together every night. And there was three of us, that was four of us in a line coming out of Jacksonville, coming back to Daytona. And there's this rest area, and on 95, it's kind of like on a curve. And come around the curve, and you see this big red spot in the middle of 95. It takes up all three lanes. You know, well, when you see, you know, roadkill, wildlife get hit, you know, you see the blood spatter make the circle, right? Mm-hmm. And it's usually, you know, if it was really bad, maybe 4-foot circle. But this took up all three lanes, you know, and there was a little bit incessant on one side and on my right eye and in my peripheral vision, I seen like a 3-pound of flesh. I was like, oh my God. So, we get back to our home base and I got out and fueling the trucks up and, I said, did you see that spot up there? He's like, yeah, man. He's like, some big deer must have got hit. I was like, dude, that was a body. You didn't see the flesh. And like the next day, we were looking it up on the news, and it turned out like a 78-year-old guy just wandered from the rest area, just wandered out in the road, and the semi took him out. The semi kept going. Wow. I don't know if they ever caught the guy. Yeah, I don't know if they ever caught the guy, but. Yeah, it was a big red circle, man. So yeah, we ran over a dead body and didn't even know it. So, you know, yeah.
Oh my,
it was, man, yeah, there's nothing you could do. I mean, like I said, it was a little bit.
Did I lose you? Are you there? There you are. You're here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You went out there just as you were ending your thought. You kind of went out, so we were waiting for you to come back in, and then apparently you finished your thought. So it's just like dead air. We're just like, you're thinking, man, that must have been a really bad story. We're just like, where did he go?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so man. I don't know why they get the weather. I was thinking, you know, maybe he was walking his dog and his dog got loose or something like that. But no, they said he wandered out in the traffic. So.
Wow.
Yeah, he must have been having a bad day.
Yeah, that's a shame. That's one of those scary things that, you know, I don't ever want to be in that position, you know. I just don't.
Yeah, that would suck.
Yes, it would.
Yeah, you know, I guess, you know, one of the downfalls of being a truck driver is, you know, you got to way too much time to think, you know. I'm lucky to have found you know, your podcast and other people's podcasts. That way it keeps me out of my freaking head at night, you know.
Amen, brother. And thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, the first episode I listened to was 90, because I was searching owner operators.
Uh-huh.
And it was with Jeff Hamill.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff.
That was, I'm just going to be honest with you, that was probably the most fun I had recording an interview on this show.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was, you know,
like it was so different. It was like
the different perspective.
Hold on, let me just tell you, because you're trying to cover up my tracks. Well, you think I'm offending the people that we've interviewed. I'm not offending anybody. We had a guy who owned his own trucking company in studio with us that was an owner of a company that was closely related to Pitt, Ohio. Like, just the... Like, people have to understand the dynamics of everything that went into that interview and into those two companies. And we, as the people who were hosting the show, had an idea of some of the things he was going to be talking about and the history. Like, there was so much anticipation going into that interview, and then him being so chill. Like, I didn't know what to expect from him.
Right.
Like, I didn't know what kind of person we were having coming in studio and stuff. And he comes in and he's just so chill. Like, he's sitting in a chair, leaning back, just with his notes, just really just a chill dude. I was like, it was just so much fun to talk to somebody like him live in person. It just went so freaking well. See, I didn't upset anybody. Like,
no, that's all right.
I didn't offend anybody. I explained why I thought that.
Very good.
Yeah. So after I finished that episode, I was like, yeah, that's awesome. So I went ahead and cleared out like 90 episodes in 3 weeks.
Awesome. That's fantastic. I love that.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's
sorry,
cool.
Sorry, my wife was texting me.
Tony, I'm looking over. He's like, he's totally away from his microphone. And he turns around in his chair. That's cool.
Yeah. Don't ask me what you said, though.
He has no clue. Oh, my word.
All right. So let me ask you, on your notes that you sent over, you have four other topics here. Are these just like random topics or what? Like the two mountain lions, iguana story, paranormal, and then you have freaking poop story or something.
Poop of the week story.
So what did you want to do with the paranormal one?
I guess. I mean,
yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to do the poop one if I don't have to.
Well, how much time do we have to kill?
We got time, dude.
We got wherever you're going, dude.
It's my show.
Fine.
We make the rules around here, you know?
Yep. All right. So,
well, it's our show, but you know, it's okay. He makes the rules.
I make the rules.
But go ahead.
All right. So, down here in Florida, we got all sorts of types of stuff that'll kill you. All the way down to the spiders. You know, we got the brown lacrosse. That could definitely kill you. But then the spiders will make you sick. We got black widows. We got mountain lions. And it's not a Florida panther anymore. So when they went extinct, they brought down mountain lions from up north and bred them. And so we actually have mountain lions down here. They're not really panthers. Me and a couple friends of mine, we were going to look for some mushrooms to go put in our spaghetti one night. And so we were walking out in the field, or checking this field out. And we were walking up the side road. The thing about mountain lions is you don't see them. You hear them. This is in pitch dark in the middle of the night, and you hear this low-ass growling, I'm going to eat you growl coming at you. And the only thing you do is just freeze, right? So if that wasn't bad enough, my friend said, you know, well, hey, we're already out here. Let's just keep going, you know, let's go out to where the cows are. It's like, no, dude, that's a bad idea. You know, scared cows chase, you know, let's not do this. So he starts walking out in the middle of the field, and the sound, it's deafening silence. When the quiet gets even quieter, you know, something's about to happen, right? Well, next thing you know, you hear thousands and thousands of hoofs charging us. It's like, man, I told you. So yeah, we luckily were able to run out of the field before we got pummeled by, you know, 60 plus cows and got eaten by a mountain lion. But that's the dumb shit we do as teenagers down there in Florida. Yeah. The iguanas, so during wintertime, sometimes, you know, it does hit 30 degrees down here. And when it, so the iguanas are from like Boca Raton, which is about 30 miles north of Fort Lauderdale. So it, about mile marker 60. So from 60 on down to one, the last 60 miles of, that's where you're going to start seeing iguanas. Okay. And when it reaches 30 degrees, they act like they're dead. They, you know, they get to sleep. It's not really a hibernation, but they fall out of trees. Well, this one guy decided he was going to, there goes the part of the bill. I decided, well, I'm going to scoop these up and, you know, try to sell them. So he scoops up a bunch of these iguanas, puts them in his car. Well, he's got the heater on because it's cold outside. And these iguanas start waking up inside the car with the shit out of this guy. Yeah, so, yeah, you don't pick up frozen iguanas and put them in the car.
That's a bad idea, man.
Yeah.
What the heck? Oh, that's funny. Freaking A, that's funny.
So, yeah, my paranormal story, this is back when I was a teenager. Down here, you don't want to go out in the woods because there's shit that's going to kill you. So, what else are you going to do? So, me and my sister, and I think it was my cousin, we were at my house, and she's like, hey, you know, let's play with the Ouija board. Was like, okay, you know, I really didn't believe in that stuff at the time anyway. And
how about now?
Even now I tell my children to stay away from it.
There you go.
But so she's asking a bunch of questions, and you know, she says that we're talking to this young kid. He died young, he's buried out here in Casadega Cemetery, and you know, I'm not buying one word of this. And you know, I'm thinking she's moving their cursed thing around, and the boy says, well, I got to go. He's coming. And then bam, on the sliding glass door is just rattling from how hard it got hit. And 5 feet off the ground was the face and handprints of a young child. There was no young kids at my house for years. I mean, we were teenagers growing up in that house. We weren't kids. So there's no way that there should be this face and handprint on this fucking glass, you know? Scared the crap out of us.
Guess it did.
Yeah.
It scared the crap out of me, I can tell you that.
Like, literally transition to poop story.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Yeah, that
yeah.
Wow.
All right, so yeah,
go ahead.
No, yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Yeah, no, we've had some other paranormal stuff that happened inside the house. I've been a drummer, ever since I was young. And when we moved into the house, it was rumored that the lady who lived there before ended up getting attacked by fire ants out back and ended up passing away. But my sister had claimed that she was getting chased in the middle of the night by, you know, what she called the pink lady. Whatever, I thought she was crazy. I never seen it. And this is before the Ouija board act, you know, incident. But I would be drumming in my room, and I would have to stop, throw the sticks down, and run completely out of the house because it felt like there was something 2 feet away from me screaming at me. I mean, it just blood. Chilling, you know, horror. And I didn't see any, you just felt it, you know, felt like something was screaming at you. So yeah, ran out of the house quite a few times.
Yeah, I would too.
You know, you said something there that just sparked in my brain another one of those reasons, you know, fire ants. And I'm like, you know,
yeah,
if I got to worry about iguanas falling out of trees, gators walking across the road, and fire ants. Maybe Florida's not for me, you know?
And you just gotta,
I mean, I like warm weather, but maybe it's just not for me.
You got the giant bugs in general, you know, freaking Florida and Texas, all you southern states down that way, man. It's just like everything is like big and ugly and
all them big hawks and spiders. And-
yeah.
Man, love bug season. You see some of the trucks coming up from like from the south. They are completely, we have white trucks. And the whole front of them is completely black with like little orange specks in it because that's the head of the love bug. But they've hit so many bugs that the front of the truck actually looks like it's breathing because some of them are still alive.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like that's crazy.
It's like a paint job.
Basically, yeah. Cheap paint job.
Lindsay was just telling me today that there's some new spider that made its way into the States from Asia.
Right.
And it's, what she said, I think she called it some kind of like parachuting spider. Like they can travel 50 to 100 miles in one jump because they do some kind of like expansion with their bodies and they let the wind carry them and they're like 3 inches. Their legs are like 3 inches.
Wow.
And they're in Georgia now and they're making their way all over the place.
Great.
So we're gonna have flying spiders soon.
damn China spiders.
I know. Like they're at it again.
I wonder if they got nanotechnology in them.
I mean, it might be just a new version of the coronavirus. I don't know. I mean, geez, dude. Like, it's just.
I mean, whatever happened to the murder hornets? You know,
I know. We got the
right.
We got murder hornets. Now we got jumping spiders. Well,
and before that, we had even just the stink bugs, and then the what do you call the flies? The lantern flies that started here in PA.
I mean,
it's just nonstop. Every season, it's something else.
It's something new. Something new.
Oh,
but that
gosh.
is a really interesting paranormal story. That is creepy and weird. I'd run out of the house, too. If I was doing something and all of a sudden I hear something screaming at me and there ain't nothing there, I'm out. I'm heading for the door as fast as I can. Okay, you only have to tell me once.
You got it, boss. It's all yours.
It's like when you're driving at work, you know, and you get a text, hey, after this run, you're done. It's like, yep, I'm not asking any questions. I'm no problem. Thank you. Have a nice weekend.
I'm not calling back in. Nope, you're not going to hear from me.
Nope. When I get back to my terminal, I'm back. I'm dropping my trailer. I'm doing my paperwork. I'm walking in the door, punching it, and I'm out.
So I tried,
get out. I'm out
with that. So I tried that. Okay. And it would work sometimes, but eventually what would happen is they would be called. Cause they'd be like, all right, well come on back and I'll give you a call if I need you. And so you just don't answer the phone when they call because, hey, sorry, boss, I'm driving. You know, like I can't be answering the phone while I'm driving.
You got that right.
And but then what happens is you get back and they still give it to you. Only you should like you realize that you were like there 20 miles ago.
Right.
And that's why they were calling you. You still got to go back out now. And you're just like, okay, so.
So you screwed yourself.
Yeah. Well, so eventually you start answering the phone because with the city guys, it's a little different than you line haul guys. So, Anyways.
That's all right.
Alan, man, it's been fun. Thanks for, you know what? Why not?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Let's wrap it up with your poop of the week story.
So when I was a teenager, probably 16, 17, I was hanging out with a buddy of mine and his brother. And well, his brother had a garage door opener. And so we would drive around the neighborhood and find out which doors it opened. So we were all pretty inebriated, and we found a house. So we parked the truck at my place, walked a few blocks up, and we were going to hide in the woods and just open and close the door, you know, for shits and giggles, just start laughing. You know, we'd watch the owner come out and try to figure out what's going on with this garage door. We thought it would be a good time, right? So we're in the woods, and we're just giggling and laughing, and the garage door is going up and going down. Well, the next door neighbor comes out. And he starts yelling at us, hey, you kids, why you in the woods? I knew it was you that robbed my house. And starts going, Martha, bring me my gun. So at this point, I'm gone. I'm up, I'm out, right?
Wow.
And so I run full blast back to the house, you know, probably 3 blocks or so. Well, what happens when you get done running? Well, you have to poop. Well, since I'm intoxicated and I'm still, long story short, the elevation between the it doesn't sit right, right? Uh-huh. So the next morning, my dad's waking me up. He's like, dude, why is there a turd in my bathtub? He's like, well, it's the elevation, man.
It was easier to get to and I had a better shot of getting there. I was not in my right mind, Dad.
So, bigger target, Dad. Bigger
That's
target.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's either there or on the floor. Which would you rather?
I got the right room at least.
That's right. There you go. That's it.
All right, so let me just tell everybody before we end this, that wasn't an invitation to send me your poop stories again, okay? we did one short poop story at the very end of the episode, and we're not even trying to make it that a tradition. So if you ain't got truck stories, don't email me your poop stories. And if you got poop stories that involve the truck, keep it to one, unless you're like the guy from last week who that's his job, dealing with people's laundry. I get it then. Or if you're like, you know, a cattle farmer or something, give me a good excuse. You can't just say, hey, let me tell you about how I was pooping on other people's trucks. I don't care. Grow up, you know? like I don't care. So, Alan, man, it's been fun. I appreciate you talking and sharing with us, man. You had a lot to share.
Yeah, good luck with this new venture. And I want to give a shout out to the owner-operators out there. Call in, email the show, let us know how to get into it. I mean, I obviously right now it's not really the right time because the fuel's going up for somebody to get into it. But come on, get on the show. Help us out.
Yeah,
most definitely. Most definitely. I know you owner operators have stories and you have information to share. And like Alan is saying, you know, even for guys who want to get into the owner operator thing, you know, how do you go about it? How do you do it? You know, somebody had to show you how to do it. You know, help somebody out, you know? Yeah. So it's really cool. I think I agree with you, Alan. You know, it's a shout out to those owner operators and, you know, all that's going on around us right now. So,
yeah.
Amen, brother.
Thanks, Alan, for helping to promote the show there, buddy. I appreciate it. Like, you did my job for me. Thank you.
You got that right.
All right, guys.
Maybe if they don't listen to me, they'll listen to you, Alan.
All right, guys. Well, I got to run. Be good.
All right, guy.
You take care of yourself.
See you.
Hey, thank you for the time. Yeah, man. Bye.
Bye. All right, everybody. That's the show. Thanks for tuning in. Dad, if they enjoyed this episode, which I think they will, can they do?
They can share this show. Share it with everybody you know. Share it with your friends and your lovers and your wives and your girlfriends and may they never meet and all those things, you know. But just share the show. Share it on Facebook and Instagram and whatever the other one is, Twitter. And the other places.
Whatever.
Yeah, just share it. Whatever
Truth Social or whatever the one that Trump just came out with.
Exactly.
All of it.
Wherever you talk, wherever you gather, wherever you talk with your friends, share it. We really do appreciate it. That's the only thing we ask is that you just share the show.
So before we get out of here, the guy who is preaching this Sunday at my church, he's like, I don't know, he runs some Christian evangelist organization, came and spoke. And he told a story of a trucker story. And I was like, oh, that was actually a little curveball that I didn't expect. He said that he was talking to this woman and she was telling him the story about how she was driving and she was an older lady and this tractor trailer came up on her bumper and was just riding up on her. And she got scared and she took off and she sped up and he sped up with her and just riding her bumper. She speeds up again and he just keeps up coming on her and stuff. And, you know, when he's telling the story, I'm thinking, well, I mean, how fast is she really going if he keeps up with her, you know? So, I mean, the point is that she kept on accelerating and he just kept up on her. And so she comes up to this exit and she gets the exit and he just takes the exit with her. And and she makes a right and he makes a right on her bumper. And she's terrified. She has no idea why he's acting like this. Right. And so she turns into this big shopping center and he comes right in on her bumper and she parks the car real fast. And she's an older woman, gets out of the car and she starts literally running to the store. And this trucker jumps out of his truck and he starts running to the back of her car and pulls out a wanted rapist that was waiting to get her.
Wow.
And the guy got arrested and everything. But the trucker was sat high enough that he saw into the car and recognized the guy that was like as a wanted poster and stuff. And he was not letting that guy get away or get that lady.
Wow.
So like people who, you know, have those experiences with those the hot-headed truck driver that, right. you know, is just riding you because you cut him off. And, you know, oftentimes like that lady, she's like, what did I do? I don't know. Like. Right. I think there might be a little bit of a moral of the story there where, I mean, obviously we get irritated and stuff, but sometimes, not always, because if they're brake checking, you know they know what they're doing, but sometimes people probably just don't know what they did to piss you off.
Right.
And because you're supposed to be the professional, don't ride up on them. Unless there's a rapist in the back seat, then save their life. Yeah, good job, exactly. Driver. Good
job. Great job. That's great job.
All right, everybody. Until next week, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.